Live in the moment. For it is a twinkling in the twinkling of an eye that life goes on around you. You never know what's going to happen next. But I know the one who does. He's the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. I want you to live in the moment. But I also want you to recognize the enemies of the cross. Live in the moment, recognizing the enemies of the cross. It is amazing to me how much hatred there is for one who loves all of creation so much. Jesus loves so much. He got that love straight from his Father. For God so loved, he gave his Son, his one and only. That's love. What did he give him for? For you, for me. He gave his Son. So his Son could conquer for our life what we ourselves cannot conquer. We could not get it right, this thing called life. We kept doing everything wrong. And then even when we really put all of who we are into it, we kept getting everything wrong. But God had a plan. Before time began, God knew that his Son was going to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. Because we couldn't. No matter how hard we tried. Well, we read the Word of God and God tells us you can't even tame your tongue. That sucker's wicked, isn't it? You praise God with it 1 minute and then curse one that was created in the image of God the next moment. It's untamable. The more you think, I'm never going to say that again, I'm never going to say that again. And as soon as that face comes in your presence, that tongue lets her rip. I think the human tongue is the only thing that flops at both ends. It's just amazing. God said, though, I know what is coming to destroy you. I will send. See, God sends us to defend one another. Did you know that? God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. And I can tell you one of those purposes. It's the one sitting beside of you. It's the ones that are around you. God expects integrity from his children. Being solid. Solidified. In the truth of who Jesus is in our life. What's the danger of this time and this age? The enemies of the cross. You know, I remember well, many of you do, remember well 9/11/2001. I remember the feeling that came over me when the announcement was made that the United States of America is under attack. Well, those radicals who attacked the United States of America on that day were attacking directly, as they saw it, the cross. As a matter of fact, the radical Islamic terrorists and their radical supporters made this comment. They vowed to remove the cross and the bearer of the cross, America. Oh, I wish there was more truth in us being the bearer of the cross, America. I see so many pushing the cross away for the pleasure of life, the pleasure of the world. To remove the cross, do we not take it out of the schools with the Bible? Is prayer missing in the hearts of young folk when they used to at least be able to hear it at school? They no longer do. Or the word read, or the pledge of allegiance given to one nation under God. Anything that has to do with the name God, love, is removed. And man is being turned against one another by man. Get them to hate each other because of the color of their skin, because of a lifestyle, because of this, because of that. Get them to hate, for in hatred nothing grows but evil. But always, the world will say, deny the cross. Be an enemy to the cross. You find the enemies to the cross of Jesus Christ in every aspect of life. Many within the church itself remain enemies of the cross. And that's what we're going to learn about this morning. Looking, recognizing the enemies of the cross, and make sure that we don't get trapped and people view us as we ourselves, calling ourselves Christians, becoming enemies of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18 and 19. For there are many of whom I have already told you before, and remind you again with a heavy heart, who live continually as enemies of the cross of Christ. These people are doomed, headed for eternal judgment, because their God is their own desires. One of the versions would say, their desire, because their God is their stomach. The things they take pride in should cause shame. They care only for the things of this world. The enemies of the cross. Had you ever stopped to think, wondering why that in Scripture, that there's no place in Scripture where I am to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Yet I do, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus' birthday is great, but Jesus never told us to celebrate his birthday. Nowhere. You know what Jesus told us to celebrate? The cross, his death. Do you know that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was born for one purpose, to die? And he knew it when he voluntarily told his Father that he wanted to come down because he loves us so much. It is at the cross where you will see the light. It is at the cross where you will see the burdens lifted from you. So much went on at that cross. The world trembles. The enemies of Jesus want you to look at that cross as so ugly, so horrible. And you know how we do ugly and horrible things. We try to forget them. We try to put them out of our minds. But in the ugliness of the eyes of man, we saw illustrated for the human race the beauty of a loving God. A crimson red, a bloody death, bleeding for salvation, mine and yours. The enemies of the cross don't want the story told. Oh, tell them the good stories. Tell them the pretty stories. You have some beauty in your life as you walk through it. But the majority of it is paved with hurt and pain. Brokenness, heartache after heartache, rough times, unimaginable words that are thrown at you. And Jesus said, I've come for you. Second coming, awesome. Awesome. But first coming is nothing to frown about. Jesus came for me and you. We're the purpose of the cross. You and I couldn't keep the rules of the prophets, of Moses, the law. We couldn't keep the law. Good gracious, man couldn't even remember them. And God knew that. But you see, my eternal salvation, my eternal life is not based on whether or not I could keep the rules and the law. It's based on the one who did keep them all. Oh, he didn't care anything about the ones man had written in so they could control their fellow man. But he kept every law of God. But he did it for me. He did it for you. There was only one way that I could go to heaven, and it wasn't my way. It was God's way. Before existence, there was God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all the human race was to come. God knew before Adam was created by the hand of God himself that man was going to mess up. And he already had a plan for us to be redeemed, bought. The scripture says, by the cross, paid for by the precious blood of the Son of the living God, because my blood wasn't strong enough, wasn't red enough, didn't have enough love in it. Oh, maybe we can work up enough love for ourselves. Or those closest to us. But one had to come that was more than willing to give his life for those who hated him, for those who were hanging him on the cross. It was the Son of the living God that said, Father, forgive them. That's the first thing he said at the cross. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We still don't. But Jesus knew what it would take. And Jesus said, I want you to look to the day. Look for the time. For God has it in his plan. A baby's going to be born. And that baby's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And through that baby, you will find peace. You will see true love. You will understand that salvation. God looked to the heart of the children. God listened to the voice of the broken and the hurting. God looked to the depth of who you were before you were. And he saw you for who you can be. And he said, Jesus, let's do this. His son. Jesus was led to the cross after committing no wrong. He walked to the cross until he stumbled and he fell. For it wasn't just the weight of a cross. It was the weight of the heaviness of the sin of all the human race. He was dying for the whosoever that would believe. And it was he who would take the guilt. It was he who would take my punishment. It was he who loved me before I was. And then it was he that remembered me while he was on a cross, shedding every drop of blood he had so that I would have peace. That's my Savior. But the enemies of the cross are enemies because of that. For you see, to them it is foolishness. It's called the gospel. It is foolishness of the gospel that I know about, you know about, you have felt. For there's the power that'll give you the courage for each step. How often do you mess up? How many times do you get back up? Every time you will get up, your helper is there to help you, to lift you up when the pressure is overwhelming. You don't think you can breathe because you're so stressed out about life, about the ones you love and the brokenness that you see around you. And you think, Lord, can I make it another day? There's a cross involved because it is on that cross where your salvation was assured. It is on that cross where the power that you're going to need today was instituted. It is on that cross that Jesus called your name before you ever existed. Jesus knew you would be. And he loved you so much. He stretched forth his arms in love. Remember what he told them? No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. of my own free will. But then he really puts the kicker in there. And if I lay it down of my own free will, I'll take it back up again. That's why they hate the cross. For it's the story of our salvation. I couldn't pay, so Jesus did. I couldn't be God good, so Jesus was good for me. And through him, I have eternal life. I have salvation. I have strength. I have purpose. Through him, I am able to love the unlovable. Your worst enemy, don't you ever forget this, your worst enemy you'll ever have in your life is that reflection in the mirror. You'll do more harm to yourself than any human enemy or Satan himself can. Until you look at yourself and understand, if I'm that important to the Son of God that he would give his life, that he would take the guilt of my sin on himself, that he would take my punishment and he would shed his blood because he loves me. Could I do anything but love my fellow man? My Savior loves me when I'm in a mess. Now you catch this. You've heard me say it many times. Some of you accepted Christ when you heard it said. Jesus loves you when you're right, and he loves you when you're wrong. My Lord loves me through my brokenness, all through my foolishness. There's a lot of that in life, isn't there? Lord, did I really say that? And you know you did. When you're asking the question, and do you know that he loves you anyway? I read the story of the cross. Jesus hung there for me. Jesus took a beating. Somebody had to pay in God's eyes. So God decided, I'll do it for you myself. Now, what's not the love in that story? What's not the love in that story? God loved this ornery thing, and that ornery thing, and that ornery thing. Think of it. God loves us just like I am. The changing that's going to come about in your life has to be from within, and only God can get in there to do that. Have patience with each other as God works his miracle. Do you realize that you are a miracle? Well, did you realize this? You are here to be somebody else's miracle. Did you ever think that God uses us in a miraculous way to be a miracle for someone who's about to give up on life? And for those of you who are watching or listening, listen to me. Taking your life is not the answer. It never is. Never has been. Because you don't have to. A life has already been given on your behalf. You're not as bad as you think you are. Love comes from that cross. But the enemies of the cross come from every direction in life. The enemies of the cross will be members of a church. Being a member of the church will not get you to heaven. Saying the right thing, memorizing scripture, won't do it. The cross already did it. When you believe and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and you say in your heart, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. I want to follow you. Folks, that's salvation. But there are people who want to add to that. And in so, they become enemies of the cross. For they say, oh yes, that's the way it happened. But, there are no buts about it. That's the way it is. But now you're going to have to clean your act up. You're going to have to dress a certain way. You're going to have to say, Jesus, like we say, Jesus. So everybody will know that you know Jesus. I cannot imagine what the angels in heaven think when they hear all of this foolishness, looking at each other. And the Lord gave his life for that bunch. Think of it like this. Jesus said, I'm going to take it all for you. I'm going to do it right for you. God, Larry, you and Randy are going to mess it up for sure. But you can't mess up what's already happened. But whoever gives their heart to Jesus, believing that he died on that cross for me, that individual is saved. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. Doesn't matter how you look. And it doesn't matter, you're going to have a case of the stupids anyway. You are going to do life wrong. But you got a Savior that did it right before time began, because our eternal life was planned. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So what are you going to do with that? When you start adding on to that, as long as you learn John 3:16, I want you to know John 3:16 and all the rest of Scripture that you can. But me knowing it, Satan knows it. Good gracious, he was there. He knows it. All the demons know it. And the scriptures say, and they tremble. The human race, the only creation of God that has the free choice to choose Christ or reject him. We're the only ones that can be told by God, this is what I want you to do. And then we don't do it. And Jesus loves us anyway. That doesn't give you a license to sin. It gives you a reason not to. Don't you dare call that which God has called evil good by participating in it. That's blasphemy. Don't you dare take the cross to make it dirty when it is the salvation for the human race. For it is that cross that gives us the freedom to look to the heaven in any situation. And perhaps, maybe at some point in that situation, to say, Lord, I see now my time is up. I see. Not the writing on the wall, but the blood on the cross. And all is well with my soul. Time to come home. Good gracious, I'm already there. You're already there, Christian. Hear me. When Jesus heard you say, save me, Lord, he saved you. Now you're doing life, and it's rough. Well, the very one who died for your life is the very one that remains alive for you to live it. Don't be afraid of it. Get out there and live it. When you bounce on the ground, when you are doing it wrong, stand up and do it right. But hear me well. Whatever situation you're involved with that is anti-Christ, that is anti what God has called you to do, run from it quickly, for you're getting ready to be destroyed by it. God's warning is there. Puts in your heart with a final ending. By the way, Larry, I love you. I want you to find peace. You push God so far, so long. Oh, listen, Christian. You can do that. Trying to play with this world and the things of this world. But when the things of this world become your God, you must go back. Pay attention to your heart. Did you or did you not say yes to Jesus Christ? Then if so, why are you serving the God of this world when you ought to be serving the Creator of it? Jesus says Satan has come. He has free reign on earth. But let me repeat this for you. He doesn't have free reign with you or me, because now we are the property of the Son of the living God. And the Son of God will send the servants he has called for that moment, for that personality, right in your face to remind you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an invitation. What a God. What love. You see, that's the word of God, which I had no idea I was going to do like that this morning. But that's the word of God. And it don't get better than the word of God. Let's pray. Father, I praise your name, dear Lord God, for the love that you've given each of us. The love you've expressed on our behalf. The Son that you send to die for us, Lord. The one who's never left us or forsaken us. Give us the wisdom now, Father, to stand strong in your truth. Father, if we are a hindrance in any way to your kingdom, to your word, I pray, dear Lord God, that you remove us, that you, dear Lord God, will intervene in lives and straighten out the messes. For Father, we know you love us. And you send Jesus, your Holy Spirit indwells us. Therefore, we find peace. We ask your blessing now as we search your truth and apply it to our heart. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.